Chapter 11 Awakening. On the other side of the clearing, where the nut-cracking man had been at work, was the last nut, half as high as Tiffany, and it was rocking gently. The cracker took a swipe at it with the hammer, and it rolled out of the way. "See what's really there," said Tiffany to herself, and laughed. The Queen gave her a puzzled look. "You find this funny?" she demanded. "What's funny about this? What is amusing about this situation?"
"I just had a funny thought," said Tiffany.
The Queen glared, as people without a sense of humour do when they're confronted with a smile.
"You're not very clever," thought Tiffany. "You've never needed to be. You can get what you want just by dreaming it. You believe in your dreams, so you never have to think."
She turned and whispered to Roland, "Crack the nut. Don't worry about what I do. Crack the nut." The boy looked at her blankly.
"What did you say to him?" snapped the Queen.
"I said goodbye," said Tiffany, holding on tightly to her brother. "I'm not handing my brother over, no matter what you do."
"Do you know what colour your insides are?" said the Queen.
Tiffany shook her head mutely.
"Well, now you'll find out," said the Queen, smiling sweetly. "You're not powerful enough to do anything like that," said Tiffany. "You know, you are right," said the Queen. "That kind of physical magic is indeed very hard. But I can make you think. I've done the most terrible things. And that, little girl, is all I need to do. Would you like to beg for mercy now? You may not be able to later."
Tiffany paused. "No," she said at last. "I don't think I will."
The Queen leaned down. Her grey eyes filled Tiffany's world.
"People here will remember this for a long time," she said.
"I hope so," said Tiffany.
"Crack the nut."
For a moment the Queen looked puzzled again. She was not good at dealing with sudden changes.
"What? Eh? Oh, right," muttered Roland. "What did you say to him?"
the Queen demanded, as the boy ran towards the hammer man. Tiffany kicked her on the leg. It wasn't a witch thing. It was so 9 years old, and she wished she could have thought of something better. On the other hand, she had hard boots, and it was a good kick. The Queen shook her.
"Why did you do that?" she said. "Why won't you do what I say? Everyone could be so happy if only they'd do what I say."
Tiffany stared at the woman's face. The eyes were grey now, but the pupils were like silver mirrors. "I know what you are," said her third thoughts. "You're something that's never learned anything. You don't know anything about people. You're just a child that's got old."
"What a sweetie," she whispered.
There was a shout behind her. She twisted in the Queen's grip and saw Roland fighting for the hammer. As she watched, he turned desperately and raised the heavy thing over his head, knocking over the elf behind him. The Queen pulled her round savagely as the hammer fell.
"Sweetie," she hissed, "I'll show you. Crevens, it's the Queen, and she's got her killed at the old tofer. Nay, Queen, nay, Laird, we free men, I can murder a kebab. Get her."
Tiffany might have been the only person in all the worlds that there are to be happy to hear the sound of the Knack Mac Feagle. They poured out of the smashed nut. Some were still wearing bow ties, some were back in their kilts. But they were all in a fighting mood and, to save time, were fighting with one another to get up to speed. The clearing cleared. Real or dreams, the people could see trouble when it rolled towards them in a roaring, cursing, red and blue tide. Tiffany ducked out of the Queen's grasp and, still holding Wentworth, hurried into the grasses to watch. Big Jan ran past, carrying a struggling, full-sized elf over his head. Then he stopped suddenly and tossed it high over the clearing.
"And away he goes right on his head," he yelled,
then turned and ran back into the battle. The Knack Mac Feagles couldn't be trodden on or squeezed. They worked in groups, running up one another's backs to get high enough to punch an elf, or, for preference, bash it with their heads. And once anyone was down, it was all over, bar the kicking. There was some method in the way the Nac-Mac Feagle fought. For example, they always chose the biggest opponent because, as Rob Anybody said later, it makes them easier to hit, you ken. And they simply didn't stop. It was that which wore people down. It was like being attacked by wasps with fists. It took them a little while to realise that they'd run out of people to fight. They carried on fighting one another for a bit anyway, since they'd come all this way, and then settled down and began to go through the pockets of the fallen in case there was any loose change. Tiffany stood up.
"Ach, weel, no bad job though I says it mysel'," said Rob Anybody, looking around. "A very neat fight, and we didn't even have to resort to using poetry."
"How did you get into the nut?" said Tiffany. "I mean, it was a nut."
"Only way we could find in," said Rob Anybody. "It's got to be a way that fits. 'Tis difficult work, navigating in dreams."
"Especially when you're a wee bitty pished," said Daft Willie, grinning broadly.
"What? You've been drinking?" said Tiffany.
"I've been facing the Queen and you've been in a pub?"
"Ach, no," said Rob Anybody. "You ken that dream with the big party, when you had the pretty frock and all. We got stuck in it."
"But I killed the drome." Rob looked a little shifty.
"Weel," he said, "we didn't get out as easily as you. It took us a wee while."
"Until we finished all the drink," said Daft Willie helpfully.
Rob glared at him.
"You didn't have to put it like that," he snapped.
"You mean the dream keeps on going?" said Tiffany.
"If you're thirsty enough," said Daft Willie. "And it wasn't just the drink. There was canapes as well."
"But I thought if you ate or drank in a dream, you stayed there," said Tiffany.
"Aye, for most creatures," said Rob Anybody. "Not for us, though. Hooses, banks, dreams, 'tis all the same to us. There's nothing we can get in or out of."
"Except maybe pubs," said Big Jan.
"Why," said Rob Anybody cheerfully, "getting out of pubs sometimes causes us a certain amount of difficulty, I'll grant you that."
"And where did the Queen go?" Tiffany demanded.
"Ah, she didn't off-ski as soon as we arrived," said Rob Anybody. "And so should we, lady, afore the dream changes." He nodded at Wentworth. "Is this the wee bairn? Ach, what a nose full of bogies."
"One a sweetie,"
shouted Wentworth on automatic sweetie pilot.
"Weel ye canny hen on," shouted Rob Anybody, "and stop snivelling and come awa' wi' us, and stop being a burden to your wee sister."
Tiffany opened her mouth to protest, and shut it again when Wentworth, after a moment of shock, chuckled.
"Funny," he said. "Wee man, wee man."
"Oh, dear," said Tiffany, "you've got him started now." But she was very surprised nonetheless. Wentworth never showed this much interest in anyone who wasn't a jelly baby.
"Rob, we got a real one here," a pixie called out. To her horror, Tiffany saw that several of the Nac-Mac Feagles were holding up Roland's unconscious head. He was full length on the ground.
"Ach, that was the laddie who was rude to you," said Rob. "And he tried to hit Big Jan with a hammer, too. That was near a clever thing to do. What shall we do with him?"
The grasses trembled. The light was fading from the sky. The air was growing colder, too. "We can't leave him here," said Tiffany.
"Okay, we'll drag him along," said Rob Anybody. "Let's move right now."
"Wee me man, wee man,"
shouted Wentworth gleefully. "He'll be like this all day, I'm afraid," said Tiffany. "Sorry."
"Run for the door," said Rob Anybody. "Can you no see the door?"
Tiffany looked around desperately. The wind was bitter now.
"See the door?"
Rob Anybody commanded. She blinked and spun around.
She said.
The sense of a world beneath that had come to her when she was frightened of the Queen did not turn up so easily now. She tried to concentrate. The smell of snow. It was ridiculous to talk about the smell of snow. It was just pure frozen water. But Tiffany always knew when she woke up if it had snowed in the night. Snow had a smell like the taste of tin. Tin did have a taste, although, admittedly, it tasted like the smell of snow. She thought she heard her brain creak with the effort of thinking. If she was in a dream, she had to wake up. But it was no use running. Dreams were full of running. But there was one direction that looked thin and white. She shut her eyes and thought about snow, crisp and white as fresh bedsheets. She concentrated on the feel of it under her feet. All she had to do was wake up. She was standing in snow.
"Right," said Rob Anybody.
I got out, said Tiffany.
Ach, sometimes the door is in your ain head, said Rob Anybody. Now let's move.
Tiffany felt herself being lifted into the air. Nearby, a snoring Roland rose up on dozens of small blue legs as the Feagles got underneath him.
Nay, stoppin' until we get right out of here, said Rob Anybody. Feagles were hey!
They skimmed over the snow, with parties of Feagles running on ahead. After a minute or two, Tiffany looked behind them and saw the blue shadows spreading. They were getting darker, too. Rob, she said.
Aye, I can, said Rob. Run, lads!
They are moving fast, Rob.
I can that, too.
Snow stung Tiffany's face. Trees blurred with the speed. The forest sped past. But the shadows were spreading across the path ahead, and every time the party ran through them, they seemed to have a certain solidity, like fog. Now the shadows behind were night black in the middle. But the Pixies had passed the last tree, and the snowfields stretched ahead. They stopped, so quickly that Tiffany almost toppled into the snow. What's happened?
Where's our old footprints gone? Said Darth Woolley. They was there a moment ago. Which way now?
The trampled track that had led them on like a line had vanished. Rob Anybody spun round and looked back at the forest. Darkness curled above it like smoke, spreading along the horizon.
She's sending nightmares after us, he growled. This is going to be a toughie, lads.
Tiffany saw shapes in the spreading night. She hugged Wentworth tightly.
Nightmares, repeated Rob Anybody, turning to her. You wouldn't want to know about them. We'll hold 'em off. You must make a run for it. Get away with you now.
I've nowhere to run to, said Tiffany. She heard a high-pitched noise, a sort of chittering insect noise coming from the forest. The Pixies had drawn together. Usually they grinned like anything if they thought a fight was coming up, but this time they looked deadly serious.
Ach, she's a bad loser, the Quinn, said Rob.
Tiffany turned to look at the horizon behind her. The boiling blackness was there too, a ring that was closing in from all sides. Doors everywhere, she thought. The old Kelder said there's doors everywhere. I must find a door. But there's just snow and a few trees. The Pixies drew their swords.
What kind of nightmares are coming? Said Tiffany.
Ach, long-leggedy things with muckle legs and huge teeth and flappy wings and 100 eyes, that kind of stuff, said Darth Woolley.
Aye, and worse than that, said Rob Anybody, staring at the speeding dark.
What's worse than that? Said Tiffany.
Normal stuff gone wrong, said Rob.
Tiffany looked blank for a moment, and then shuddered.
Oh, yes, she knew about those nightmares. They didn't happen often, but they were horrible when they did.
She'd woken up once shaking at the thought of Granny Aching's boots, which had been chasing her, and another time it was a box of sugar. Anything could be a nightmare. She could put up with monsters, but she didn't want to face mad boots.
I have an idea, she said.
So do I, said Rob Anybody. Dinna be here, that's my idea.
There is a clump of trees over there, said Tiffany.
So what, said Rob.
He was staring at the line of nightmares. Things were visible in it now. Teeth, claws, eyes, ribs. From the way he was glaring, it was obvious that whatever happened later, the first few monsters were going to face a serious problem. If they had faces, anyway.
Can you fight nightmares? Said Tiffany.
The chittering noise was getting a lot louder.
There's no a thing we canny fight, growled Big Jan. If it's got a heed, then we can gie it a face full of dandruff. If it Disney have a heed, it's due a good kicking.
Tiffany stared at the onrushing things.
Some of them have got more than one head, she said.
It's our lucky day, then, said Darth Woolley.
The Pixies shifted their weight, ready to fight.
Piper, said Rob Anybody to William the Gonagall. Play us a lament. We'll fight to the sound of the mouse pipes.
No, said Tiffany. I'm not standing for this. The way to fight nightmares is to wake up. I am your Kelder. This is an order. We're heading for those trees right now. Do what I say. Wee wee man, yelled Wentworth.
The Pixies glanced at the trees and then at Tiffany.
Do it, she yelled, so loudly that some of them flinched. Right now, do what I tell you. There's a better way.
You cannot cross the hag, Rob,
muttered William.
I'm going to get you home, snapped Tiffany.
I hope, she added to herself. But she'd seen a small, round, pale face staring at them round a tree trunk. There was a drome in those trees.
Ach, aye, but, Rob Anybody glanced past Tiffany, added,
Oh, no, look at that.
There was a pale dot in front of the racing line of monstrousness. Sneebs was making a break for it. His arms pumped like pistons. His little legs seemed to spin. His cheeks were like balloons. The tide of nightmares rolled over him and kept coming. Rob sheathed his sword.
"You heard our Kelder, lads," he shouted. "Grab her, we're offski."
Tiffany was lifted up. Feagles raised the unconscious Roland, and everyone ran for the trees. Tiffany pulled her hand out of her apron pocket and opened up the crumpled wrapper of Jolly Sailor tobacco. It was something to focus on, to remind her of a dream. People said you could see the sea from the very top of the downs, but Tiffany had stared hard on a fine winter's day when the air was clear and seen nothing but the hazy blue of distance. But the sea on the Jolly Sailor packet was deep blue, with white crests on the waves. It was the sea for Tiffany. It had looked like a small drome in the trees. That meant it wasn't very powerful. She hoped so. She had to hope so. The trees got closer. So did the ring of nightmares. Some of the sounds were horrible, of cracking bones and crushing rocks and stinging insects and screaming cats, getting nearer and nearer and nearer.